broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. I'm glad you are all here safe, and hopefully others are safe, those who might be traveling to church, or maybe they're listening or watching on the streaming. So a couple of things. Well, I have some announcements before and after, but Divine Service Setting 1, so that begins on page 151 in your hymnal. And allow me to introduce the hymns, especially for those listening on the radio. Opening hymn 940, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. That's our hymn of the month. And we are celebrating the baptism of our Lord. So hymn of the day 406, To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord. During distribution 596, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized. 594, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. 602, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives. And 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. All excellent hymns to help us understand our baptism and our Lord's baptism, which I'll be speaking on. We're also going to install our officers, those who will be serving on boards, whether they were coerced or, you know, wanted to and volunteered to. That will be before the prayer, so after we recite the creeds. I'll ask that they come up, those, you know who you are, otherwise we'll find you, bring you up, so we can install you. And let's see, we're taking down decorations, the Christmas decorations. We'll do that right after church, so anybody who could help, it would be appreciated, and shouldn't take long with a lot of people helping out, and so we'll do that. And we'll include in our prayers those listed in the bulletin, plus Susan's dad, Harold. We'll include him in prayers in the hospital and being taken care of. So, all right. Well, let's begin with our opening hymn. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-evaluation. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Turn to your yellow insert, and we sing together the introit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after the Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord, is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual on the yellow insert. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn was written by Martin Luther, so very informational, a challenging topic, this baptism of our Lord, because it's so significant. And so we'll touch on this. But as I said, paying attention to those hymns really helps for us to ponder, as Luther put it in that hymn, to ponder what's happening. We celebrate this baptism of our Lord in the season of Epiphany. It is at his baptism that God makes known the one true God in the flesh and blood of this man, Jesus Christ. And if you want to understand your own baptism, you must understand Jesus' baptism. It is an essential part of his mission. It is connected to his crucifixion and his resurrection. It can't be separated. And by God's grace, you are baptized into Christ. You're directly connected to Christ through this event that happened in the Jordan River 2,000 years ago. Today we heard Luke's account of the baptism of our Lord in the gospel reading. When all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus is baptized along with all the other people. This is a baptism intended for sinners who needed to repent, who needed cleansing. Jesus steps in there. He has no sin of his own, but he's taking the place of sinners in his baptism. So there in the waters of the Jordan, Jesus is standing in solidarity with sinners, and he's also standing as a substitute for sinners. He absorbs the sins of the world, those who had been committed and those that would be committed. So this man who knew no sin became sin. And he begins his ministry as the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the world. This, as you remember, John proclaimed, that's who that is, the promised one. And at Jesus' baptism, we hear the account that the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, all people to see this anointing, the anointing of this man. This is the one, marking him as the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, all mean the same thing. And as the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters in the first creation, the Holy Spirit is also indicating God's recreation that's occurring with the baptism of Jesus. Jesus is bearing the sins of the world so that the life, the new life, may begin. Jesus is also marked by the Holy Spirit as the one to bear God's wrath, the wrath that will burn with the unquenchable fire, as John had commented on. The fire of God's wrath at sin is kindled against Jesus, and this is placed on Jesus. He will later proclaim, "Jesus, I came to cast fire on the earth, and that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." Another baptism. The one Jesus is referring to is his bloody baptism of death on the cross. And there, as the bearer of sin, Jesus would endure the full and complete fury of the wrath of God for the sins of the world. And the wrath of God was satisfied when Jesus died. This is confirmed in his resurrection. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens were opened. At Jesus' crucifixion, the curtain the way to the Holy of Holies in the temple and in heaven are open through his death on the cross. The way to heaven is open, and it remains open through Christ. His bodily ascension assures all who are baptized and who believe in Jesus, they will be with him in heaven. They will be with him bodily at the resurrection. And before Jesus came to be baptized by John, John told the people, answering as they were anticipating, you know, is this John, this powerful prophet, is he the Christ? Is he the one to come? And so John, knowing this, he answered. He says, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is, of course, speaking of Jesus. John is preparing the way for Jesus with his baptism of repentance in the water. It is Jesus who carried our sins to the cross. Jesus who would suffer the bloody baptism of death and rise from the dead 3 days later, as it had been written. Jesus accomplished what he came to do in his earthly ministry, but his work had only begun. Before he ascended, after his resurrection, he met with the apostles and explained that he had fulfilled everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament scriptures. Now it's their turn. He ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, where they were, but wait for the promise of the Father. The baptism with the Holy Spirit was going to come to them after Jesus' ascension. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, as it said, to clothe them as they went out as witnesses of Jesus to the end of the earth. So 10 days later, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and tongues of fire appeared and rested on them. Again, visible evidence of this Holy Spirit in the fire. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they weren't consumed, they weren't destroyed by the fire. Jesus had absorbed the destructive power on the cross. So when the Holy Spirit lit upon them, they're purified and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' work would continue through the church, beginning with his apostles and continuing through us today. In his Pentecost Day sermon, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ever since that Pentecost, that first Pentecost where the Spirit lit like a flame on them, the Spirit and fire are inseparable. Your baptism in water also includes the Spirit and fire, the one that Jesus spoke of. He baptized you in Spirit and water. And as we heard in Romans, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You were baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You were dead in your trespasses, but you were reborn, made alive in Christ. And you're purified and empowered by the Holy Spirit as a baptized child of God. You were spared the wrath of that unquenchable fire because of Christ, but purified through the death of your sinful flesh. This is what Paul is talking about in that Romans text. dying to sin, to live in that newness of life, free from the power of sin. That's how we live as baptized children. You have received the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is participating in this work of recreation. Remember, he showed this at the beginning, the first creation, and again at Christ's baptism. He showed that, and as the Father proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son." Because you are in Jesus, not only is the Holy Spirit working through you, but God declares that he is well pleased with you in Christ. This is the truth of your baptism. Nothing can diminish the love of God for you in Christ. Whatever you think about yourself, it doesn't change the reality of God's love for you. Whatever other people think about you or say about you, it doesn't change this truth. God is well pleased with you. Whatever you have done or failed to do, it doesn't change this. Your sins do not change this, because Jesus forgives those sins, the ones he bore on himself. So we remain in our baptism, and we don't leave it to live a life of sin. No, we can't do that. That sin we're dead to now. We live in Christ. We live in the newness of life that we have in our baptism. And so in Christ, every day you're made new as you die to sin. And it is a struggle that Paul alludes to. We die to sin and we walk in the newness of life that you have in baptism. This is why we make the sign of the cross, to remind us, I'm baptized. The truth of God's word is on you. The Spirit resides in you. And you remain connected to Christ as part of his body through his word and his Holy Supper. His recreation work, it continues in you and through you. You're in the world to do the good works that he has established for you to walk in, and he empowers you to do this. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is purifying you, restoring you, renewing you, leading you in his work of recreation, and keeping you until the Lord returns. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand, and together we will confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Thank you. unless you're an officer, you can be seated, but officers, those serving on boards, thank you for your willingness to serve. Please come up here, up toward the rail. We'll have you stand at the rail. Let's see, I gotta find. All right. Fortunately, they provide me the right to read here. Look at all this. Would you mind giving a little applause to show your appreciation for those willing to serve? Thank you. And just because you're not up here doesn't mean that you will not be asked, you know. You probably have, but no. We still have some appointed positions, I think, that we can include you all. But anyway, beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church, as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." All right, so I'll start here and work my way across. And by the way, in your bulletin insert, you have names and titles of most of these people. If I make a mistake, you can call me out. So, Jeff Arndt, you've agreed to serve on the Board of Trustees. Thank you. Let's see, am I supposed to say anything else? Yeah, that's good. I wasn't supposed to say thank you, but thank you. All of you, I'm very grateful for your willingness and the service you already provide. Christine Jones, once again, serving on the Board of Education. Blanket thank you. All right. Kathy Michaels, Board of Stewardship. What else are you doing now? Trust Fund Committee. Okay. All right. And then we get some new blood here, right? So Lynn and Dave are both willing to serve. And I have to make sure, it seems like you're serving in more than one duty, Lynn. Board of Evangelism? Okay. And Trust Fund, okay.
No, stewardship.
Stewardship, Board of Stewardship. Dave, stewardship for now. Just for now, all right. Right. I don't think I'm gonna repeat that. Tony Welke, what do you know? Tony is going to be the president again, so thank you, Tony, for doing that again. And Cheryl, not only are you serving a Board of Evangelism, you've agreed to be the chair, so you're doing that. So thank you, Cheryl. Matt, Board of Elders, as always, continue to do that. Jim, more new blood here. Jim Clark, so you are vice president. We need a vice president, so thank you for serving in that capacity. Chuck Hall, what does Chuck do around here? All kinds of stuff, yeah. Chuck's our chair of the Board of Elders, so thank you. Amanda, been appointed to be the secretary of the congregation, but also serving on the Board of Education. Carol, you don't need a Carol's a board in and of herself. Carol, serving on the Board of Education, and not to mention everything else she does, altar guild banners, I don't even know everything Carol does, thank you. Pam too, Pam Rose, officially, this one, okay. All right, we don't have to go into all that Pam does, just God knows, right? But Pam has agreed to serve on the Board of Evangelism. We decided that's where we're going to do some of our social community work under the Board of Evangelism, because it's not really clearly laid out in our bylaws. So thank you. Arlene, she's been evangelism forever, but now you're going to be our fellowship, Board of Fellowship. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Susan is going to do a couple of things when she can. Board of Education, evangelism. Thank you. And all right, again, more new blood. Jesse and Sarah Schweitzel are serving on the Board of Youth and Christian Education. Pretty exciting. We got some new stuff going to do with our youth, so awesome. All right. Well, all right. That took longer than I was supposed to. Forgive me. But I am excited that you're serving. You have been chosen to fill, and hold on. Let me see if there's probably somebody who did. Oh, where's Justin and Alexis? Yeah, so Justin's probably plowing snow somewhere. He's on the Board of Elders. Alexis is on fellowship, and not to mention our treasurer. Yeah, what's? Jerry, of course. You weren't going to mention Jerry. Jerry Clark, yep, elder, all right, good. And Pastor Jones, Board of Trustees, man, he's a board in and of himself too. All right, so, all right, okay. You all have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Zion Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. In Christ's sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office and offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Zion Lutheran Church. Do you promise, congregation, to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that God may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, congregation, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Zion Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Congregation, please stand and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." You may return to your seats. And we'll continue with the prayers of the church. I shouldn't have phrased it, return to your seats, because I want you to stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed Lord, you wonderfully foreshadowed the promise of baptism in the passing of your people through the Red Sea and Jordan River in Christ, and by his baptism, you have kept your word and made baptism the water of new life. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we would walk as the new and holy people you have declared us to be. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks that you call and gather the baptized into your church. Prosper the good work of preaching the gospel and administering the life-giving sacraments. Bless Matthew, our synod president, Dwayne, our district president, Brad, our pastor, and all church workers, that their ministry would be faithful and fruitful. Lord, in your mercy, preserve the family, especially all Christian homes. Turn husband and wife toward one another in love. Equip fathers and mothers for their holy duty as teachers of the faith. And preserve all children in the saving faith and certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the Christ and the true King of this world. Grant great humility to the rulers of the nations, that they would submit to the preaching of his holy word for the sake of their own souls and for the good of your holy people. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for standing with us in times of weakness, illness, despair, and death. Give us every aid of your Holy Spirit that we may endure these afflictions and find comfort in the healing wounds of our Savior. We especially remember the family of Pastor Klain, Shirley, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Lewis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, Cookie, and ask for your healing, and we ask for your healing and relief according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as you have joined us to Christ's death and resurrection in the sacrament of holy baptism, so feed us his body and blood for forgiveness and life in the sacrament of the altar. Give to your baptized children who partake of the supper today tender hearts that confess their need and rejoice in your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace at the baptism of your dear Son. With your voice, you directed us to the one who has borne our sins, that we may receive grace and forgiveness. Keep us, we implore you, in the true faith. Since we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your Son, strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.